So, hi, I'm Gwen. I'm a food addict, which is easier for me to say than compulsive overeater. I'm talking to you about my experience with acceptance of myself and my past. I didn't really look at the character defects. Maybe I didn't see that part. But my character defects are showing up everywhere, so they're there. I thought talking about this would be fairly simple, but I'm finding there have been many steps to self-acceptance. Thinking about my experience made me realize it isn't something that one day I didn't have it and the next day I did. I have come to accept myself in increments, and not alone either. There's always been another person along the way. Beginning when I was very young, I had no knowledge of anything but self-acceptance. And I kind of have some props. I don't know if you can see that. It's a jar with a pretty picture on it. Maybe I'll set it over here. Going through life, I learned and was taught that there were things that were unacceptable about me. I kept those things hidden away because I wanted more than anything to be accepted by others. I needed to belong. I needed to learn how to wear a different hat so that I fit in, no matter where I was or who I was with. Here's some of the hats that I wore. The one that I wore the longest was a helmet, and I had boxing gloves with it. I was tough. I kept other people away so no one could find out the secret. When I was 7 or 8, I was sexually abused by a family member. Before I found the 12 steps, 43 years of self-hatred and self-rejection was all I knew. I never wanted anyone to ever know that I was anything other than perfect and flawless, like this brand new painted plant pot. No, nothing broken, no rough spots, just perfect. This experience was a big, ugly break in my vase, and I couldn't see myself any other way. It was by far the most important thing I did in early recovery was to open up and heal from it. The big book says we make use of professionals when needed, and I needed it. If I had tried to work through it in the rooms of recovery, I would have run away. I was barely able to whisper it to a therapist. In fact, I don't think I said it out loud. I think I wrote it. I was so ashamed of myself. Letting this secret out into the light was earth-shattering and ego-busting. I didn't know that 1 in 4 women are sexually abused in a lifetime. My experience, however painful it was, opened my heart to other women. I made amends to myself for all the years I spent living with that secret. I started out in one of the other fellowships, and that sponsor was there to help me through all of it. This is what I did with her help. First of all, this person who did this was never going to ask me if I was okay with what happened. I was trapped in anger and resentment as long as it was up to them to fix it. My sponsor taught me write out what I needed to say, and I pretend and read it off the paper to them. For years and years, I pretended it didn't bother me. I had lived with this dishonesty, and it was tearing me apart. I lied to myself, to others, and myself that it didn't hurt. When I confronted the person that abused me, I asked them to please just be quiet and listen to what I have to say until I say I'm finished. And please don't interrupt me because I might get choked up and have a hard time finishing. It's very hard to me, but I need to read it to the end. I've used this technique a couple of times, and they always understand from the beginning not to interrupt me. My sponsor helped me edit my letter. That way I wasn't accusing the other person of anything, because I sure wanted to. I had to keep it to my side of the street. I was honest about how it affected me, and that's what my letter was centered on. I could clearly see how I had been punishing and rejecting myself since I was 8 years old. I didn't know I was the one punishing me. Of course, I blamed it all on the other person who was the catalyst. But they hadn't spent 43 years torturing me about it. That I had done to myself. My sponsor went with me. She was so awesome. I could not have done it without her. She waited in the car while I went inside to read my letter. I was shaking when we left. She held my hand through it all, and I thank God she was there. When I did this step 9, I felt the freedom of self-acceptance and accepting my past. It was so awesome, but it was scarier than freaking hell. I wasn't a victim of that person. I was a victim of self-rejection. I got a huge boost of self-acceptance when I did this. I had stood up for myself and was honest about my brokenness. I felt 1,000% better. God was really happy with me that day. In my resentment to this person, God would have me be honest. What would he have me do? God would have me be to tell the truth. And that's what I did. I was able to accept myself, and the experience did not define who I was anymore. The process was transformational. Another hat I wore was the victim. I accepted myself as a victim. Everybody else was the problem, and I never did anything wrong. I spent a lot of time being angry at the world because the world treated me like crap, and everybody else was, treated fine, great. I always got crapped on no matter what I did. I wore the hat a lot. I accepted myself as a victim. I rejected myself as being worthy of love and respect. Working step 4 helped me to see lots of things I was angry about and the people I resented. My first 5th step was like stepping off a cliff when you don't know if there's anyone or anything there that's going to catch you. Like the cliff in Indiana Jones and Last Crusade, where if his foot hit solid ground when he took his leap of faith, wow. The problem was I had a choice to make. I could be right every day of the week and 5 times on Sunday, but if I wanted to get free of the disease's grip, I had to find a way to let go of the resentments. I had to accept that I wasn't 100% the victim, and that I had a hand in mucking things up. Accepting responsibility enabled me to begin to accept myself as worthy of love and respect. I wore the self-pity hat a lot. I was like Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. I so wanted to be like Tigger, but there was no way. Tigger was so proud of himself when he sang, "The wonderful thing about Tiggers is I'm the only one." I thought being the only one was terribly lonely. How could other people be like that? I was ashamed of how I ate. I was not proud of myself at all. I constantly compared myself to Tigger or people like Tigger. Self-acceptance was the last thing I had when I stepped into recovery. My vase looks like this. Looks like that when I get here. Maybe I could hold it up. It's all cracked and meh, it looks like hell. It's been through hell. I couldn't see any way to put myself back together because of the steps and learning to be honest, open-minded, and willing. I like to say I found my way to self-acceptance, but the truth is I have been guided to it little by little, and I didn't get her overnight. It says in the big book that the purpose of the book is to find a power greater than myself that will solve my problem. I thought food was my problem. Excessive compulsive eating is the symptom of my underlying problem. My weight was the consequence of the symptom. Kind of like a cast and crutches are the consequences of a broken leg. My problem is deeper than that. What caused my leg to be broken? Poor choices, reckless behavior, accidents, a bone weakening, disease, perhaps. The root of the problem is what the big book addresses. They call it a spiritual malady, and a remedy is to connect to a higher power that works for you. I didn't know how to do that, but I kept connected even in the darkest times. I did it crappy too, let me tell you. If you're going to do this perfect, forget it. There's just no way you can. You can do it crappy consistently and it works. Here I am. Here I am. Right? Yeah. I just kept coming and listening and learning from others about their experiences, and I never quit coming back. It was tough. I didn't know who I was, let alone have self-acceptance. The big book lays out these 12 steps to help me uncover the real me. It's pretty hard to accept yourself. And there's so many times that inner voice screams at you what a loser you are. By working the inventories, steps of 4 and 5, the higher power of the program itself helped me to find the real me, not the fake one that I pretend to be to get everyone to like and accept me. When I can see clearly the truth of who I am, I can change. My ego does not want me to change at all. I needed to understand that. I needed to accept that my ego was doing its job. It thinks it's protecting me from harms by keeping me isolated. I have no idea that's what's going on when I'm in the food. All I know is that I'm miserable and I don't want to connect to anybody. I'm so ashamed of myself and even more ashamed that I can't stop eating. How can I possibly accept myself when I'm doing all that? I learned on page 86 of the big book, it says to be quick to see where religious people are right and make use of what they offer. I looked up the word religion in the dictionary, and of several definitions, one of them states a set of values, beliefs, and practices based on the teachings of a spiritual leader. I want to encourage you to be open-minded about your higher power if you're still seeking what works for you. I found that there are many positive aspects of spiritual beliefs other than the one I was raised in. Step 11 says, sought through prayer and meditation, past tense. That means I needed to have done those things. Seek, and seek I did. The God of my understanding is the energy I get when I'm connected to others. I believe God connects to me through other people indirectly. I'm using the word God, but my higher power does not have a formal name and doesn't seem to need one. What does this have to do with self-acceptance? I was unable to accept myself as long as I tried to turn my will and my life over to the God of my childhood. I relapsed, got abstinent again, relapsed, got abstinent again, and did it again and again and again. I tried to make that God work and it just would not. It was only when I accepted that I wasn't going to fit into mainstream religion's mold that I had to find my own connection to God, and I felt led to discovery. The turning point for me is, not was, is when I am open-minded and willing to be exactly who I am in this very moment. I need to accept me as is right now. Nothing more, nothing less. How could I be anyone else? I mean, I want to be a Cadillac. I'll do it. It'll be perfect when I'm a Cadillac. I'm a beat up old Buick. I have to start with who I am. The beat up old Buick is what God gave me. This is where I gotta start. How can I accept myself any when else? The past me is a memory, and I can't change anything about the past. The past me was an abused child. The past me was afraid of life. I accept my past, lock, stock, and barrel. I can argue with it and be resentful at it, but I must accept it. In baseball, when I am forced out at second base, I'm out. There's no question. Acceptance is good sportsmanship. The future me is only an illusion of perfection. That Cadillac? The future me I saw was perfect, poised, confident, slim, beautiful, gorgeous smile, heads turning everywhere. Then I look at reality. I'm overweight, out of shape, never really been in shape. Bad haircut, sloppy makeup when I do put it on. Hard to find clothes that I look good in. Not really a class act, suave or sophisticated. Not particularly, intelligent. But, you know, my ego puffs me up like likes to make me think I am. Who would want that second picture? It's no wonder I beat myself up over everything I wasn't. I compared myself to the fantasy me. My ego belittled me. That's not how I am right now, so I must beat myself up because reality is not acceptable. I'm the beat up Buick and I gotta beat myself up more because I'm not that. That's twisted. The God of my understanding accepts me with every broken piece, every flaw, every chip, divot, cavern, and sinkhole in me. The rubber has to meet the road or nothing changes. I must take action. I follow step 11, seeking a higher power of my own understanding. Little by little, I have been led to a power that works for me. I felt called to blaze my own spiritual trail. It was kind of scary at first. I mean, I always tried to copy what other people did, but all that was accomplishing was I was just continually kicking myself because I couldn't. Nothing worked for me. I started to explore and discover spiritual practices and found some that I really jived and grooved with. And I can talk to anybody about that later if you want. On page 14, Bill W. states, "For if an alcoholic failed to enlarge and perfect his spiritual life, once I opened my mind to expanding my spiritual connections outside of the box that I tried to conform to, things started changing. My outlook on life changed to one of possibilities instead of the gloomy Gwen that I had been when I was in the food. I was granted the serenity to accept myself just as I was, in the steady stream of verbal abuse quieted and disappeared. I didn't realize it was happening. I was actively seeking connections with fellows in the program. I accepted that in order for me to connect, I had to see the person I was talking to. I meet on Zoom one-on-one as often as I can. I schedule meals on Zoom with other fellows. Seeing myself actively doing and experiencing the connection in real time generates positive energy from my higher power. It is the force that grants me sanity, serenity, and self-acceptance. I had one miracle that surfaced as a quiet knowing that calmly settled over me in the face of what could have been an absolute calamity. I made a really big mistake booking a hotel for the OA birthday party in Los Angeles. I should have booked it through the birthday party's website, but I forgot about it. I didn't get the convention rate, and the cost for the three nights was a big difference, like $400. In the past, I would have been, here's my character defect, I would have been kicking, screaming, and angry at everyone. I would have been shouting at the hotel reservations, demanding to talk to their supervisor, and going to any length to piss, moan, and bitch to anyone I could unload to about this injustice. Talk about extreme calamity oozing out of me. Instead, wow, I accepted the mistake without any emotional attachment. Quietly, intuitively, took steps to see if I could correct the reservation. It was non-refundable. Okay, quietly, I accepted it. I checked with the hotel to see if they could change it. They could not. Okay, I accepted it. I contacted the birthday party to see if they could help change it. They could not. Okay, I accepted it. The room is mine, period. Okay, I quietly accepted it. Okay, how can I salvage what I can from this? Answers came to mind and I just followed them quietly, without questioning, without bashing myself? Huh? I composed a message to the birthday party that I had three spots in the main hotel if they had latecomers that couldn't get a room. The rate would be higher than convention rate. Maybe I can recoup something there. It came out to be an opportunity to be of service. Maybe. That's just how it presented itself. Next, I told my sponsor about it and did a step 10 around it. It came up that I had no disturbances from the situation at all. All the 10-step assets were there. What? How'd that happen? While discussing with the sponsor, the next thought that came was, donate those 3 spots outright. What? What? The next thought, do this every year, but the next time, book it at the convention rate and donate the spots again. Hey, I don't know about that one. I think I'll get with my sponsor on that. I feel very at peace with this. It didn't come together in a day. Oh, I got the stop sign. Oh, where am I at? I got about, well, you know what? It all turned out great, okay? Self-acceptance was there from the beginning when I realized my mistake. Didn't even know I had it. Self-acceptance was there. I will say my ending right here. You know what? That crackpot is now like this. Because of the steps and the program, I've learned to lovingly repair and clean those broken parts of me, and they're all put together with gold now, with God as the bonding agent. And I'm just so, so grateful to have been able to share here today. The energy from all of you is the power that heals my spiritual malady. Acceptance of myself and my past has been granted to me. This is like a clearinghouse of spiritual energy. I just love it. Thank you for inviting me to share, and enjoy this rejuvenating day.